Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to chat about how to turn a life of chaos into a life of prayer. We'll start off by looking at the definition of what prayer really is, and then we'll share 9 practical pieces of advice that we have found help us to have a better prayer life, and maybe they'll help you too. Hey, Tim.
Sarah, how are you today?
Doing great. Got my wood stove burning and my warm socks on and just trying to stay warm.
You have socks without holes in it? Because I don't think I do.
Well, only because I just bought new socks.
Oh, okay. I swear, every time I put on a pair of socks, my wife looks at me and says, you know, there are 3 holes in the bottom of that. I didn't. I honestly didn't. And then I, so it's like, that's one of the benefits of marriage nobody told you about. Nobody told me about. Sock spotter. Somebody tell you, hey, those socks have holes in them.
It's a necessary job, I guess.
I hope so. I suspect so. Anyway,
time for you to buy new socks.
I have my coffee in front of me, and I need new socks. That's about all I have in my brain right now.
All right, can I start by telling you a story at my attempt at having a better prayer life?
Please do.
Okay. So I got up in the morning, and I said my morning prayer before I got out of bed. But I decided I wanted to do something more, and meditation is like my favorite way to pray. So I set up a little table in front of our prayer shrine in our house, and I put like my Bible on there and some paper and pen, and I was going to read my Bible, and I was going to, you know, dive into it, do some reflection. And I like to write when I reflect. I didn't write a single word on the page because it was quiet in the house until I sat down to do my meditation. And then, you know, one kid's up and he wants to start his schoolwork right away at 5:30 in the morning. And then the next kid's up and wants breakfast. And this kid has a diaper that needs changing. So I was running all around the house, taking care of the needs of the kids. And there's my little prayer table just sitting there waiting for me. And at first I was kind of disappointed because I was like, oh, I didn't get my meditation in. But then I realized what I was doing as I was running around the house. So, you know, my oldest needed help with his schoolwork, and I'm like, you know, okay, Jesus, I'm doing this for you. You know, help me through this. And the baby needed a diaper change, and I'm like, all right, Jesus, I see you in the baby. And the other one needs a snack. So as I'm walking by the prayer table, I was like, okay, you know, Jesus, I'm here, I'm coming. And I had this tug in me, just kind of pulling me back to God, even though I wasn't able to like do that sit and do that meditation. I just was my heart and I guess my mind in all the little things that I was doing for my kids was just constantly drawn towards God, just because like I had set up this little prayer table and had this intention to pray. And it reminded me of something that I talk about prayer to my confessor a lot in confession. And it reminded me of something that my confessor said to me. He said, you don't have to pray like a nun, pray like a mom. And so I feel like, you know, we really need that as parents. We need to recognize that we don't have to pray like nuns or monks. It's, you know, we don't have to sit in and spend like hours in meditation or whatever, but we just need to learn to pray like parents. So I think it's really cool that we're doing this because I think, Tim, that you have a lot of great tips on how we can pray like parents, like mom and dad, when we can't pray like a monk or a nun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause it's insane that we have this one idea of what prayer is, and we almost fight the prayer life that we are living or can be living because of what the ideal or what we think the ideal prayer life is or whatever it may be. And yeah, we tend to do that. Exactly what your confessor said. We tend to pray like we think we're supposed to pray as opposed to how we are supposed to pray or how we can pray.
Yeah, so we have these ideas of what we think prayer is, but can you tell us, like, what is prayer? Like, what does that mean?
Well, prayer, there's a bunch of different ways of looking at it. I love what Mark Hart, the Bible geek from Life Teen, said. He said that prayer isn't works working on your relationship with God. Prayer is your relationship with God.
Oh.
And so I love thinking about it that way, as it's an active thing. It's not as passive as a lot of us treat it to be. But a couple of definitions. Like, here's a definition: the voluntary response to the awareness of God's presence. Now, this can happen in a lot of different ways, a lot of different avenues, whether it's through adoration, just acknowledging God's presence, God's greatness, God's personal connection to you from the Eucharist, real and true and authentic, and your dependence on God, or thanksgiving, just a voluntary expression of gratitude, that so many of us are terrible at gratitude, or whether it be contrition or petition. There's all these different ways that we can voluntarily respond to our awareness of God's presence.
That's awesome. So I like that definition, but it still sounds like, like theoretical and kind of abstract and out there. So can you give us like some practical advice? I think we have 9 tips we said we have today. So can you give us like one piece of practical advice of what prayer might look like then for a parent?
Sure. I love what I call Divine Mercy Chaplet dishes, where every time you wash a dish, you pray one of the prayers of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And the bigger your family gets, the more of the chaplet you get through because of the more dishes you have.
You have so many dishes. And so do you keep track? Like, do you count? Because that sounds complicated.
I mostly just say the prayers, and if I lose count, I lose count. I don't put a lot of, I have to get the exact 10, and then I have to say the other prayer, and then say another 10. Or if your dishes are really dirty, say a prayer of the rosary every time, because those prayers are longer. So it depends on those.
It's good for scrubbing the pots and pans, right?
Exactly. That is exactly what it's for. So, yeah, just the idea of every time I wash one dish, to say one prayer real quickly. And it can be out loud, it can be in your head, whatever it may be. But a lot of us think of that as some sort of labor that has nothing to do with prayer. But our labor without prayer is meaningless. It's just a waste of energy. But if we turn that labor into prayer in some way, then we glorify God with dishwashing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just something that most of us miss out on, including me often.
Yeah, like sanctifying your work. I used to do something similar like this. I should get back to it, like with folding the laundry. Every time I fold a piece of laundry, I would just do a simple, like my own made up prayer of asking God to bless the person who's, underwear I'm folding or socks I'm putting together. And it just kind of helped me connect with God and connect with my family.
That is so fantastic. I never thought about that. Well, and if the underwear is really old and full of holes, then it's holy underwear. So, that's sainthood in the making, and
that's
really
right.
Terrible dad jokes. But I love dad jokes. I don't care when people say they don't like dad jokes, they're like, oh, dad jokes. Oh, that's a dad type joke. I'm like, yeah, that means it's hilarious.
Yeah, okay? They're just grumpy if they don't appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. People need to laugh more. Smile. It's good for you.
Second tip,
begin the day with just a simple prayer like, God, I offer this day to you, or God, let me care for these kids of mine as a gift from you, as your children. Just little things. I can't tell you how many days I start off. I'm not even out of bed. And the first thing I do is pray real quickly. Lord, give me strength. Lord, just give me some strength today, because it starts my day off by focusing on God, by directing my attention to God, as opposed to, oh my gosh, where's my coffee? Or, oh no, what do the kids need? I immediately focus on God.
Yeah.
And that's an important way to start your day. I heard someone in the military not too long ago was giving a commencement address, and they said, begin every day by making your bed, because at the end of the day, you'll come back, and even if it was a terrible day, at least you accomplished that one thing, and you get to come back to a made bed.
Right.
And that always stuck with me about how we start our day, even in these little simple things, carry through for the rest of our day until we're back in bed. So, yeah.
That's perfect.
Tip number 3, pray on the go. Why don't you tell us about that one, Sarah?
Yeah, so our family has a few of these, what I call them, like, prayer triggers. And they're things that we encounter just in our regular daily life that we've kind of assigned a prayer to, so that every time these things happen, it just automatically triggers us to pray. So, like, when we get in the car, we pray this, like, St. Christopher, pray for us, and our holy guardian angels watch over us. So anytime we go somewhere, we know we're going to pray because it's just that habit we formed. Another one, passing by the church, we've started, like, making the sign of the cross as we pass by the church. You just remember Jesus is in there. This one is my kids love when we go by when we're driving by a cemetery. They kind of like call it, they make it like a little game. They call the cemetery. And then we pray the eternal rest prayer for the faithful departed. Another one they love is if we hear an ambulance, we say a Hail Mary for, you know, whoever is in need. And then of course there's grace before we eat. So just these kind of little, like, very, very quick prayers, but we all, like, work together as a family to remind each other, and if when we notice these things going around, that's like a stopping point, stop and pray.
I love that, especially the fact that your children call out a cemetery, as opposed to when I was a kid, we would hold our breath when we drove by a cemetery, and I have no idea who taught us to do that, but it had nothing to do with prayer. It was just kids being weird. And
that sounds weird. I don't know what that's...
It means nothing. At some point, I think one of my sisters or I said something about, well, we don't want to offend the dead people who aren't breathing. It was absurd. It made okay. No sense. I don't know why we did it, but I don't know why I did most of the things I did as a kid. Right. So. Number four, prayer buddy. So I have a friend. We were roommates for a little while. We live in separate towns, separate states. And we text each other every few days or so just to say, hey, how's your prayer life going? Mm. And the other guy has to answer honestly. It's not I'm fine. I'm doing good. No. We tell each other when it's, hey, this is where I'm struggling. Because then we know, hey, it almost forces us to do like a self-examination, an examination of conscience, like being like, yeah, here's what I, where I'm actually struggling. Let me be honest and tell my brother about this.
Yeah.
So it forces us.
And so do you find like you guys can help each other out? Like, oh man, I'm really having a hard time, you know, with whatever aspect of prayer. Like, do you guys kind of have like insights into each other's spiritual, almost like spiritual direction? Like, does it help or just the accountability itself?
It's mostly the accountability, but it helps in the fact that we are close friends. We were in each other's weddings. We were basically a 90s sitcom. He and I lived together. The girls we were dating, the young women we were dating, lived together. And then they got engaged, and then we got engaged, and then they got married in October of the same year. We got married in November, and we were in each other's wedding. So we're basically a chaste episode of Friends, if you will. It was very bizarre, but we know each other pretty well. And so, yeah, we do have a little insight into the other guy. But for the most part, it really is just the accountability that we need that helps us and guides us. Sarah,
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you what the next one is, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I have a friend, a really close friend who, you know, same thing. I look to her for accountability. And I feel like sometimes, as Catholics, like, we don't really talk about our spiritual life or our prayer life with other Catholics as much as maybe Protestants might. And so I have a really close Catholic friend who actually like talks about the spiritual life with me. And it's really helpful because then, like you said, I can say, man, I'm just so grumpy with God, or I'm having a hard time praying, and we can lift each other up spiritually. I don't know. Do you find that that's missing sometimes with
Absolutely. I think there's far too much, and I love Catholicism and I love the church, but there are far too many people within Christ's church who have taken faith is personal and therefore it's private. Mm-hmm. But faith is personal, but it's not supposed to be private. It's something we're supposed to live out publicly, and it's something we're supposed to use to hold other people accountable or to draw them in to, you know, be closer with Christ, whatever it might be. So, you know, I think about the number of times I've been at Mass and people walk in and try and find the pew that's the farthest away from anyone else there. I get the desire for quiet prayer with Jesus, but come on, you're at the Mass, you're part of the community.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be, you know, and the rest of us need to go out of our way to make sure whoever is walking in feels welcome, is welcome, and knows they are. So
yeah, prayer buddy, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So number five, what do you have for us, Sarah?
So I don't know if you've ever heard of the Jesus Prayer. This was something that I had only discovered recently. I'm like, what is this? And so what it goes like is it's just praying the name of Jesus as you breathe. So like you breathe in and just pray Jesus in your head. And then as you breathe out, you say, have mercy on me. And you just kind of do that as you breathe, just repeating the name of Jesus and repeating that prayer. And I think it's really relaxing and it doesn't really interrupt anything else you're doing because all it takes is that you need to be breathing. So, you know, you could do it any time, like while you're doing the dishes or while you're driving or a quiet moment or even a busy moment where you just like need to find that peace. You just, you know, breathing the name of Jesus. I don't know. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't, but that I'm going to now. That's fantastic. I've usually more of a just I take breaths and just calm down or whatever right. It is when things are bothering me, some sort of anxiety reaction or recovery, whatever it may be. But I love that because
I think it's helpful, like when I'm trying to go to sleep and you're supposed to like calm your breathing anyways, and you know, do that little pattern of breathing and just praying with the name of Jesus while you're trying to go to sleep. It just makes for, I don't know, just more relaxing, like not so much worrying and keeping yourself up.
Okay, I'm definitely doing that tonight. That's
totally
a fantastic idea. All right. Number six, remember the saints. So we have so many great saints in the Catholic Church. We have your St. Therese of Lisieux, who's just insanely popular for a good reason right now. We have St. Teresa of Calcutta or Mother Teresa, Francis of Assisi. All of these saints have shown us that you can glorify God through simplicity. We don't have to be the famous person who has this big impact on the world. We don't have to be the person who's really like out working on the streets with the homeless. Those are wonderful things to do, but we need to find a way to pray, to love God, to glorify God in the simple tasks, whether they be, as we've brought up multiple times, doing the dishes, folding the laundry, sweeping, whatever it may be, changing a diaper. You know, these are things that they don't seem to be, what is the term I always use? Doesn't matter. But we talk about glamorous. That's it. Parenting isn't glamorous.
No.
And it's not. But we say it's not glamorous. And then I think a lot of times we say intentionally or unintentionally that it can't glorify anything. It can't glorify God because it's not glamorous. Like right. It needs to be this, you know, as my 3-year-old would say, it has to be, it's all shiny. You know, anything that's clean to her, she goes, oh, look how shiny it is. Yeah. Even after
parenting is not shiny.
No, it's definitely not, you know, and oh gosh, she'll walk out of the bathroom and go, my bottom's all shiny. Like I think we need to take you to a doctor. That sounds problematic, but no, I love that. That should be a bumper sticker. Parenting is not shiny. I like that. But we need to see that just because something isn't glamorous doesn't mean it isn't used to glorify God or can't be used to glorify God. So some of the great saints have really shown us that over the years. So
awesome.
Let's move on to number seven. Remember your corporal works of mercy. So somebody pointed this out to me not too long ago, and it's that, okay, well, I'm a parent. I'm at home with the kids a vast majority of my day. How am I supposed to go out and live the corporal works of mercy? Well, feed the hungry. I feed hungry people every day, and usually food that they want. And then by the time they get it, they tell me it's the wrong food, but I still feed them. I give drink to the thirsty. Is it the right color cup? Of course it's not the right color cup, but I still give them drink. I shelter the homeless because you better believe that if I didn't give my kids a place to live, I don't think anybody else would want and they are crazy. So, you know, these are just some of the things I do every day without even realizing it.
Yeah. Which I was just reflecting on this because that chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, right? It's the separation of the sheep and the goats. Yeah. And Jesus is standing there in heaven and he's looking at, you know, the sheep and the goats, and he's saying, "Did you give me something to drink? Did you feed me? Did you clothe me? Did you visit me? Yes, you did. Come on into heaven. No, you didn't. See you later." And it's like, well, you know, when could we have done this? Like, when can we actually minister directly to Jesus? When we're doing this for our children or for someone in our family or our neighbor, we are literally directly ministering to Jesus. And I think sometimes, like, we don't see that connection. Like, we might think of it like, oh, you know, this is a nice, like, a pretty thought or something like that. Yeah. But no, we are literally, when we give that cup of water to our child, we are literally giving it to Jesus. And that is how we're going to get to heaven. And that is our way to connect with Jesus. And I think we have to just drive that home.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he said, however you treat the least of my people is how you treat me. And, you know, toddlers. So
totally.
I think that's exactly who he was talking about. Well, that's not only exclusively, but that's partly who he was talking about.
They fit the bill perfectly.
Absolutely. Number 8, remember your spiritual works of mercy. So I think we often gloss over these because we think, I don't know, these involve like someone of a religious order or whatever it may be. But if you just think about parenting for a second, counsel the doubtful every day, every day. Instruct the ignorant 30 times a day. Okay, it's just constant. All right.
Homeschooling, right?
Exactly. Admonish the sinner. Oh, well, they aren't of age of reason yet, but oh gosh, I admonish them all the time.
Right.
And they will be admonished plenty when they get of age of reason. So comfort the afflicted. Comfort the afflicted. Oh, my children are afflicted with so many things. I don't know what they're afflicted with, but
like the tag in their shirt because it's itchy, or it's the thread in their socks. Like, that's afflicting.
Oh my gosh, it's so difficult. Life is hard. Yeah. But oh my gosh, how often do we comfort a child? All the time.
Well, and this is hard for me, like, to be sympathetic when it's like, oh my goodness, you know, can you just like relax about your socks and your seams and whatever? Like, that is hard for me. So, but yeah, remembering that this is a spiritual work of mercy.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's supposed to be difficult. You know, if it was easy, they wouldn't call it parenting or the Christian life or anything like that.
Right.
I heard someone say not too long ago, and we can talk about this another time, but that they, there, if you're looking for an easy vocation, you won't find it in Catholicism.
No.
People get into things like marriage thinking, oh, well, this is going to be fun and all the time. No, it's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
It's a cross to take up, if it can be fun too, or should be, but
sure.
Yeah. But then there's, you know, forgive injuries, bear wrongs patiently. Oh my goodness, bear wrongs patiently. That's my day. Well, I mean,
I had to look up the definition of patience the other day because I'm like, I don't know what patience really, I don't know what this means. And so it means like, you know, bearing with the difficulties without complaining, even interior complaining.
Oh, no.
I was just like, oh, you got me on that one. So I'm working on that, bearing wrongs patiently, because even when I'm outward, like, you know, sucking it up inwards, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I'm going to pop here.
Oh my gosh, yes. Same here. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
9, change the lens. So we need to change the lens through which we view the question of how do we have a life of prayer. We often think of prayer as being a part of a prayerful life, being a contemplative life, like a quiet reflection. And the life of a stay-at-home parent, it's not as contemplative. It's not like the monastic life.
No.
It's very much a life of service. And a lot of people, in my experience, when they say, oh, okay, I'm going to work on my prayer life, they try and add things. That's their first step, is to say, well, I'm going to do the rosary every day, or I'm going to go to Mass an extra time once a week. Those are great things. But we're busy, and it's very difficult to add things as the first step. So instead, let's start by acknowledging the acts of service that we're already performing, like the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And that will allow us to more consistently move forward in our prayer life. To acknowledge that we are already living a prayer life is an important step.
I love that. I love the point you're making here, because we have, like you said, that active life. We are, as parenting is a vocation of the active life. It is not a vocation of the contemplative life. So it is going to look totally and entirely different. And we have to encounter God where we are, like you said, in our service to our vocation and to our family. But I do want to push back on something a little bit here. And that's the idea that just because we're not living the contemplative life means we're not called to practice the prayer of contemplation. Because I think that sometimes we get that idea like, okay, well, I guess I just can't have this deep, you know, spiritual connection to God. And I think that's not true. I think we can have, you know, a contemplative prayer life, even in the midst of our active life. What do you think? You want to chat about that?
I would love to, but you know, we are running out of time. So let's continue this as a part two episode on prayer, talk about contemplation and what it all means.
Perfect.
All right. Well, to everybody out there, to you who are listening, thank you very much for listening, and join us next time for part two of our discussion. Are parents called to contemplation? Our discussion on prayer. So if you can, subscribe, comment, share things on social media, whatever you can do. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com and at ToJesusSincerely on social media.
And you can find me at chastelove.org or at the Chaste Love on social media. So stop apologizing for the state of your house. All of our houses are just as messy.
No, my house is a hurricane right now.
And remember, you are never alone.